Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Numbers, and this is chapter 14. And the header, the first part of this chapter, has to do with the people of Israel rebelling because of the bad report that 10 of the spies brought back from the land of milk and honey. They're afraid, and they wept. And they're afraid of the giants. And it's the same thing today. People are so afraid of this new world order, what they call the new world order, which has been prophesied of many, many years ago. There's nothing new about it at all. And they're afraid of it because it's bigger than Goliath, bigger than all the Anakims. And people are trembling and rebelling against God. They're getting into drugs and alcohol, music, sex, everything they can to get their minds off of the fact that this is the end of the world. And they're crying and they're rebelling greatly against the Lord. Satan is using his one world government, the Antichrist government, cult, and its voice to frighten people, that people are now afraid of Satan rather than God. And here are these people. You can see how powerful the influence of satanic government, a satanic cultish government. This cult, the Bible says, is the one that is the false prophet. It is also the mother of harlots. It is the one that is causing all the abominations on the face of the earth, and the government is enforcing her will upon the people of the world, and the media keeps making it look as though it's right. And they've been governmentally brainwashed to the point to where they feel that the things that God said are evil. Because the Lord says for nations to stay with nations. And that's why God put languages on different people. And now they're trying to homogenize the religions and say that we all have to become one religion. And whatever the giants say, we must do. But the people rebelled. They didn't want to go into the promised land. They were afraid that they're going to get killed. But the desert, the wilderness, was a fearsome place. There were all sorts of wild animals out there, and snakes, venomous snakes. And on top of this, the wrath of the Lord was upon them for not believing that he could prevail over, no matter what it was, in the promised land. The Lord said that he gave it to them. He promised it to their Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and that he was going to give it to them. Well, let's see what it's all about. This is chapter 14. Father God, bless it, anoint it, and show people that how it parallels with today. But today we have the Bible, the whole Bible, the Old and New Testament, and now we should be well aware that you are more, we are more than conquerors in you. So Lord, there shouldn't be any fear in any of us at all, because we have you. They had you also, but now we know what happened to them for not believing in you. I anoint this chapter and let every lesson that it teaches stay with us until the end. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Numbers chapter 14, the people rebel. King James Version, verse 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Verse 2. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness.
So they'd rather die in Egypt in the wilderness rather than die in the promised land. So God's going to give them that opportunity. They said it with their own lips. And so they did die in the wilderness. God turned them around for another 38 years. Then what?
Verse 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey?
They were murmuring against the Holy Land. They wanted to die in the wilderness or go back to Egypt and die. Then what?
Were it not better for us to return into Egypt? Verse 4. And they said one to another, Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt. Verse 5. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. Verse 6. And Joshua the son of Nun, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Verse 7. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. Verse 8. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land, and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Verse 9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Verse 10. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will this people provoke me? And how long will it be ere they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? Verse 12. I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them, and will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. Verse 13. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it, for thou broughtest up this people in thy might from among them. Verse 14. And they will tell it to the inhabitants of this land, for they have heard that thou, Lord, art among this people, that thou, Lord, art seen face to face, and that thy cloud standeth over them, and that thou goest before them by daytime in a pillar of a cloud, and in a pillar of fire by night. Translation, verse 1 through 14. The people rebel. Verse 1. Then all the people began weeping aloud, and they cried all night. Verse 2. Their voices rose in a great chorus of complaint against Moses and Aaron. Quote, We wish we had died in Egypt, or even here in the wilderness! Exclamation mark, unquote. They wailed. Verse 3, quote, Why is the Lord taking us to this country, only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as slaves! Exclamation mark. Let's get out of here and return to Egypt! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 4, Then they plotted among themselves, quote, Let's choose a leader and go back to Egypt! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 5, Then Moses and Aaron fell face down on the ground before the people of Israel. Verse 6. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. Verse 7. They said to the community of Israel, quote, The land we explored is a wonderful land! Exclamation mark. Verse 8. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us.
And he'll only be pleased, he would only have been pleased with them if they didn't murmur and complain and rebel. But they did rebel, and so, and murmured and complained and wept, and so now they have to go back for a full term, 38 years, a 40-year stint. Then what?
It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us! Exclamation mark. Verse 9. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us! They have no protection, but the Lord is with us! Don't be afraid of them! Unquote. Verse 10. But the whole community began to talk about stoning Joshua and Caleb. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to all the Israelites from above the tabernacle. Verse 11. And the Lord said to Moses, quote, how long will these people reject me? Will they never believe me, even after all the miraculous signs I have done among them? Verse 12. I will disown them and destroy them with a plague. Then I will make you into a nation far greater and mightier than they are! Moses intercedes for the people. Verse 13, quote, but what will the Egyptians think when they hear about it? Unquote. Moses pleaded with the Lord. Quote, they know full well the power you displayed in rescuing these people from Egypt. Verse 14, they will tell this to the inhabitants of this land, who are well aware that you are with this people. They know, Lord, that you have appeared in full view of your people, in the pillar of cloud that hovers over them. They know that you go before them in the pillar of cloud by day, and the pillar of fire by night. King James Version, verse 15. Now if thou shalt kill all this people as one man, then the nations which have heard the fame of thee will speak, saying, verse 16, because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land which he sware unto them, therefore he hath slain them in the wilderness. Verse 17, and now I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, verse 18, the Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgression, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. Verse 19, pardon, I beseech thee, the iniquity of this people, according unto the greatness of thy mercy. And as thou hast forgiven this people, from Egypt even until now. Verse 20, and the Lord said, I have pardoned according to thy word. Verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Verse 22, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Verse 23, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it. Verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Verse 25, now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Verse 26, and the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 27, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation, which murmur against me? I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 28, say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Verse 29, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Verse 30, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. Translation, verse 15 through 30. Verse 15, now if you slaughter all these people, the nations that have heard of your fame will say, verse 16, the Lord was not able to bring them into the land he sware to give them, so So he killed them in the wilderness. Verse 17, quote, please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you have claimed it to be. For you said, verse 18, the Lord is slow to anger and rich in unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. Even so, he does not leave sin unpunished, but he punishes the children for the sins of their parents to the third and fourth generation. Verse 19, please pardon the sins of this people because of your magnificent unfailing love, just as you have forgiven them ever since they left Egypt. Unquote. Verse 20, then the Lord said, quote, I will pardon them as you have requested. Verse 21, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, verse 22, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness, but again and again they tested me by refusing to listen. Verse 23, they will never ever even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will enter it.
They tempted the Lord.
So, you know, he can't bring us meat, he can't bring forth water and all these things. The devil tried to do that to Jesus and to make him bake some bread, make it out of bread out of rocks, and he told him no. Absolutely put a no to it. He said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He tried to tempt him into committing suicide, to jump off of a cliff. He says, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He tried to get him to worship him, saying he'd give him the entire world, or the earth, but the Lord owns the earth and the fullness thereof, and he owns everything in the universe. And so the Lord told him to depart from him, that we are to worship the Lord God, and him only shall we serve. These people tempted God. They said, tested him. Can you do this? Can you do that? After they saw him do everything. And so they deserve being back out in the wilderness for their whole 40 years. Okay, then what?
Verse 24. But my servant Caleb is different from the others. He has remained loyal to me, and I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will receive their full share of that land. Verse 25. Now turn around and don't go on toward the land where the Amalekites and Canaanites live. Tomorrow you must set out for the wilderness in the direction of the Red Sea. Unquote.
You're going back. Don't go in where the Amalekites are and the Pezerites and all these different clans. Don't go into the Promised Land. You're going back. Okay, then what?
The Lord punishes the Israelites. Verse 26. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, verse 27, quote, how long will this wicked nation complain about me? I have heard everything the Israelites have been saying. Verse 28. Now tell them this. As surely as I live, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. I, the Lord, have spoken! Exclamation mark. Verse 29. You will all die here in this wilderness! Exclamation mark. Because you complained against me, none of you who are 20 years old or older and were counted in the census, verse 30, will enter the land I swore to give you. The only exception will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. King James Version, verse 31. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised.
Right, your little ones, the ones that you thought would get killed by the people, those evil people living in the Canaanites, those are the ones I'm going to let go in, and they're not going to get killed. All right, but you're going to die. Then what else?
Verse 32. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Verse 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. verse 34, after the number of the days in which ye searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year shall ye bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and ye shall know my breach of promise. Verse 35.
Yeah, that's the breach of promise. The Lord breaches his promise because of people. It's like he says in the New Testament, he promised, I will never leave you or forsake you. But then when people just keep sinning, he breaches the promise, and he does leave you and forsake you. He's talking to people when he says, I'll never leave or forsake you. He's talking to people that don't rebel against him, that keep his commandments. He says right there, he breaches his covenant. Amen?
Amen.
His promise. And he does the same thing in the New Testament. He says, he'll leave you if you leave him. He breaches the new covenant. And what else?
Verse 35. I, the Lord, have said, I will surely do it unto all this evil congregation that are gathered together against me. In this wilderness they shall be consumed, and there they shall die. Verse 36. And the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him, by bringing up a slander upon the land. Verse 37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord.
They died immediately. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 38.
Doesn't take long for the Lord to smite people when he wants to. The others, he made them suffer for 38 more years. Then what else? For listening to them.
Yeah. Verse 38. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Verse 39. And Moses told these sayings unto all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. Verse 40. And they rose up early in the morning and gat them up into the top of the mountain, saying, Lo, we be here, and will go up unto the place which the Lord hath promised, for we have sinned.
Oh, no, you're not going up. The Lord already said that you're going back to the wilderness for full 40 years. Okay?
Translation.
No, you can't make up your own rules. Or like a lot of people say, oh, I repent now. I repent. I'm going to do better now. Oh, no, you're not. You're not going to go in there and fight now. You're not going to enter the Holy Land, the Promised Land, the land of milk and honey. Uh-uh. That's just what you want to do. You're always doing what you want to do. The Lord said no. Okay, then go ahead.
Translation, verse 31 through 40. Quote, you said your children would be taken captive. Well, I will bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. Verse 32. But as for you, your dead bodies will fall in this wilderness. Verse 33. And your children will be like shepherds, wandering in the wilderness 40 years. In this way they will pay for your faithlessness, until the last of you lie dead in the wilderness. Verse 34.
Yeah, the children would hate their parents now for making them spend another 38 years out there. Okay, then what else?
Quote, because the men who explored the land were there for 40 days, you must wander in this wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins. You will discover what it is like to have me for an enemy. Unquote. Verse 35. Quote, I the Lord have spoken! Exclamation mark.
God's chosen people, and God says he's their enemy now? Yes, and he's the enemy of people that are born-again Christians, even more so than anybody else, that turn their back on him. It's hotter in the pit of hell for people that knew the Lord and turned their backs on him and decide to rebel against him because they've heard these false doctrines, once saved, always saved. Right there, they were saved. And then some people say that's the Old Testament. Well, you ought to read the New Testament. Jesus is the biggest preacher of hellfire and brimstone. And to those that fall away, the New Testament says if you fall away, there's no more chance for repentance. And it'd be better that you'd never been born. And so all sinners, I mean, people that call themselves born-again Christians and sinners, they all go to hell, the ones that sin. Okay, then what else?
I will do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They will all die here in this wilderness! Exclamation mark, unquote. Verse 36, then the 10 scouts who have incited the rebellion against the Lord by spreading discouraging reports about the land, verse 37, were struck dead with a plague before the Lord. Verse 38, of the 12 who had explored the land, only Joshua and Caleb remained alive. Verse 39, when Moses reported the Lord's words to the Israelites, there was much sorrow among the people. Verse 40, so they got up early the next morning and set out for the hill country of Canaan. Quote, let's go, unquote, they said. Quote, we realize that we have sinned, but now we are ready to enter the land the Lord has promised us.
I hear so many people say, they commit adultery and fornication, lesbianism, homosexuality. They say, we realize now that we've sinned. They knew that they shouldn't have done that in the first place. No, they have to suffer and die and go to hell. Now, I know it's just these pleasing ministries. That's why you see thousands upon thousands of people in these ministries, because they give these weasels hope. When the Lord absolutely says, you're not going in there, you're not going into the promised land, they said, oh, yes, we're going to go in now. We realize our mistake now. Not a mistake. You've angered the Lord. You've sinned. Okay, then what?
Verse 4, King James Version, verse 41. And Moses said, wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper.
Now,
translation, verse 41. But Moses said, quote, why are you now disobeying the Lord's orders to return to the wilderness? It won't work.
See, the Lord already told them to go to the wilderness, and they decided now they're going to go into Canaan land. They just got to disobey the Lord all the time. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 42. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies.
Yeah, don't go up there, because the Lord's going to let your enemies smite you. He's going to kill you. So don't go up there. Go into the wilderness like the Lord told you. You've got 38 more years of suffering to do out there, and then you're not coming in anyway. You're just going to suffer and then die. Suffer for 38 years and then die. Okay, then what?
Verse 43, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and ye shall fall by the sword. Because ye are turned away from the Lord, therefore the Lord will not be with you.
Okay. Now that's it, see, the Lord's not with you. He told you to get out into the wilderness again, and no, they're going to go in there because they realized their mistake. That's what they wanted to do. Sure, after they found out they had the sentence of 38 years, and that it's locked in, because the Lord, once he says something, that's it. It's locked in, and you're locked out. Then what?
Translation, verse 42 and 43. Do not go into the land now. You will only be crushed by your enemies, because the Lord is not with you. Verse 43. When you face the Amalekites and Canaanites in battle, you will be slaughtered. The Lord will abandon you, because you have abandoned the Lord. Unquote.
Right. So, if you never leave you, I'll never forsake you. But you left and forsook the Lord. You decided to not keep his commandments, and so therefore he forsook you. Okay, he abandoned his promise. Okay, he breached it. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 44. But they presumed to go up unto the hilltop.
They went, even after Moses warned them, they still went to and rebelled against God and Moses, the Lord's leader. Okay, then what?
Nevertheless, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and Moses departed not out of the camp. Verse 45, then the Amalekites came down, and the Canaanites which dwelt in that hill, and smote them, and discomfited them even unto Hormah. translation verse 44 and 45. But the people pushed ahead toward the hill country of Canaan, despite the fact that neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's Covenant left the camp. Verse 45. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in those hills came down and attacked them and chased them as far as Hormah.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 14. Good lesson there, amen, because it's the same. People say, well, that was the Old Testament. No, it's the New. It's the Old and New Testament are the Bible. There's no, you know, people make it the Old and New Covenant. Well, it is, but it's still all the Lord, and the Lord never changes at all. As a matter of fact, he amplifies the severity of the commandments in the New Testament because he gives us his Spirit to live in us in order to be able to keep the commandments. And so it's more severe in the New Testament. Back then, in the Old Testament, if you took your clothes off and committed adultery or fornication or lesbianism or homosexuality, you're stoned to death. In the New Testament, if you even look at somebody with adultery in your heart, or you even look at them and you dream about homosexuality or lesbianism, you're finished. You're finished because you never put the cross to it. And so you've got to, and if you did it ignorantly, well, then repent and don't do it anymore. But if you keep doing it after hearing the warning, then the Lord has certainly departed from you, and there's no hope for you to ever get into the kingdom of heaven. You're no special case. God is no respecter of persons. So that is the, he says, no adulterer. This is New Testament. No adulterer, no fornicator, no liar, no thief, no effeminate or masculine female shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Even the fearful people of Satan and the unbelieving of God, they shall spend eternity in the lake of fire. All of those kind of people. So there's no threat of the burning forever and ever and ever in the Old Testament. The New Testament is far more powerfully powerful to condemn forever and ever and ever, the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
So people have to wake up. Don't be saying it's the Old Testament. There's more mercy for the people in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament because the Spirit was not living in those people back then. There's less mercy in the New Testament. And if you turn back to sin and live a life of sin, then there's not even any more forgiveness for you. You might say, I realize now, oh my God, I lived 20 years or 10 years or 5 years or 2 years in sin. Or after I've been saved. So you realize it. Is the Lord still with you? Are you being blessed? Are you communicating with him? Does he communicate to you? Read the Bible, see what it says. You want to cling to the Old Testament and say, oh, it's not that way in the New Testament. These are false prophets that are telling you that. So if you believed it, and you were ignorantly believing it, then repent and don't do it anymore. Or else, because God is as severe as anyone can possibly be. The New Testament says he's a terrorist. Knowing the terror of the Lord, the Apostle Paul says, I preach, I teach, I serve him. Amen?
Amen.
He's a terrorist. These terrorists today are amateurs compared to him. And it just matches up with the Old Testament. He says he'll mock and scoff at people that pay no attention to his word. When they're going out into the eternity, into the pit of hell, and into the lake of fire, he'll laugh at you and scoff and mock at you. Now that's the kind of God that, you know, to me, you figure, but I don't want a God like that. Well, that's what you got. That's the kind of God there is. There's no other God. And so you got to just receive him the way he is. You hate him? But the feelings are mutual. But you can't hurt him. He can hurt you, though. Don't fear him who can kill your body, but cannot send your soul to hurt your soul. Fear God who can hurt your body and hurt your soul eternally. That's the kind of God you got. Well, we don't think that's the God of love. He never claimed to be. He claims to be more of a God of wrath. You see right there where he burnt these people up. Amen?
Amen.
Hmm? Well, you're reading the wrong, but you're reading, Grimm's Fairy Tales, whatever it is. I don't read fairy tales, so I don't know the name. You must be reading Superman or Batman or, you know, the three little pigs. Amen? This is not the three little pigs, all right? Okay, then what?
Chapter 14, verse 1 through 45. This chapter narrates the people's two reactions to the spies' report, narrated in chapter 13. Quote, return to Egypt, unquote, in verses 1 through 5, and quote, kill the two spies, unquote, who had faith, verses 6 through 10.
Yeah, they wanted to stone the two people that had faith. People just wanted to, these evil people wanted to get rid of God. They don't want him in that pillar of cloud. They don't want him in the fire up above, in the pillar of fire. And they don't want him in the air. God is in the air. He knows what you're thinking. He's right inside of... He knows, the Spirit of the Lord knows everything that you're thinking. To him, you're like a computer. And everything is being computed that you even think. That's what the Bible says. Amen?
Amen.
He said we're going to be judged for all of our every word, idle word, and every thought. You murmur against God, murmur against God's people, their his leaders. Here they wanted to stone Joshua and Caleb. They were given a good report. The whole congregation wanted to, except those that were 20 years old and younger. And all those that would be born in the next 38 years. But those old fatherless children were going to die and go to hell. I say, well, I don't like that kind of a God. Well, then God doesn't like you. You better not be so worried about you liking him. You better worry about him liking you. Because to... if you don't like him, you're a speck of dust to him, chaff. It casts your soul into hell in less than a New York minute, in less than a New York second. Okay, then what?
These were saved by divine intervention, and the people sentenced to death instead, verses 10 through 38. The people then attempted to invade the promised land against the Lord's command, verses 39 through 45. 14, verse 24.
God was angry at them. He didn't want them, he wasn't going to let them repent. When you do too much anger, people keep thinking, well, I'll just repent. They ain't no chance for repentance, evil ones. Forget about that. Oh, now we know that we did wrong. We repent. No, you don't. No, you've already done too much. Too much evil. No, what you're doing is you're going down into the wilderness, into the netherland, and forever. You say, well, there's no love in your ministry. Well, I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm explaining it to you. Right here is what it says. Amen?
Amen.
He let two people live, and all the rest of them died. Millions of them. That's how strict God is. Well, God is merciful. Was he with these people? Huh? No, he killed them. Well, God, that's the old... No, it's even stronger in the New Testament, Bunky. You better read your Bible. Or read the Bible that I read. I don't know these new newfangled Bibles, they don't say the same thing that the Hebrew says, and the Hellenic Greek, which is the Greek written and spoken by the Jews. All right, keep going.
In contrast to the unbelief of the other Israelites, Caleb trusted God and obeyed him fully. The positive result of his faith was his entrance into the Promised Land, though he had to wait nearly 40 years.
Yeah, he had to suffer with those people. And what else? And the Lord took the ridge away. I had to suffer with him because it was taken away, and I worked hard to get that ridge. And the Lord blessed Sue and myself, and they just rebelled. And now they're still coming after Sue and myself, or myself now that Sue is gone. But they've got something to look forward to, but they're not going to like it. Okay, then what else?
All the other adults except Joshua died as they wandered on their 40-year wilderness trek.
All of them died. Millions of them. So God is merciful. Where is that mercy? Let me show it to me. You read in some other Bible. That's the God of love. He says, I'm going to kill them all. Know this, that God also is a God of wrath and a God of hate. He says, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. And he hated these people too. He wanted to kill them on several occasions. And so he knew that they're just about ready to enter the Promised Land, so he sends them all back again into the wilderness. Suffer. Okay, then what?
If we seek to get into the kingdom of heaven...
Now, I'm telling you about the real God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? This isn't Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies, right?
Right.
Or the Disney Channel. Okay, what else?
If we seek to get into the kingdom of heaven on our own strength, we will also wander in the wilderness and never experience the kingdom of heaven at all.
Absolutely. Because he's the same God. Then what else?
On this side of eternity, a lot of people never experience the wholeness that God desires for them. But if we step out in faith, trusting God to lead and protect us, we will discover a new life, a life that you never realized before. Notice that even Caleb and Joshua had to wander in the wilderness with them. But through perseverance and faith in God, they finally arrived. 14 verse 34 through 35. After Moses announced God's judgment, the Israelites showed superficial repentance.
Yes, yeah. When people say, I repent, that's just superficial. They're just jive and trying to jive God. But you don't jive God. He knows what's in man. The Bible says, amen?
Amen.
So he's going to he's not going to jive you. He's going to send your soul. If you try to jive God or shuck and jive the Lord, your soul is going to be in hell. And then you're going to wonder how stupid you were for trying to shuck and jive the Lord. You think you're slick. All these people did too. Then what else?
Then they tried to conquer parts of Canaan in their own strength, but their mission was unsuccessful. As we seek to overcome our dependencies and compulsions, we need to do it God's way, with God's timing, and with God's help. When we are breaking God's commandments, it's impossible for God to be with us in any endeavor. The obstacles we face are too great to be tackled alone. But with God's help, nothing is impossible. 14 verse 2. Life and death as slaves in Egypt were preferable to the death in the wilderness, according to the people's complaint.
Yeah, let's go back to Egypt and be slaves and die there, instead of dying in the nice place that the Lord has provided for us. Or out on the wilderness, let's just go out there and die. Why, you scumbags? No wonder God... I mean... If I were God, I wouldn't have even... I don't know what I'd have done. What he did was just perfect. Amen?
Amen.
Then what else?
The references were Exodus 14:11, 16:3, and 17:3. Death in the wilderness seemed better than death in the promised land. 14 verse 5, fell on their faces, either a sign of despair on the part of Moses and Aaron, or of intercession. 14 verse 6, tore their clothes, a response of grief or bitterness. 14 verse 9, they are our bread. This was a retort to the spies who had said the land eats in its inhabitants, in chapter 13, verse 32. Their protection, literally, quote, their shadow, unquote, a pictorial reference to the inhabitants' idols, which would shade them from the destructive sun. 14, verse 10. The congregation's decision to execute Joshua and Caleb is not carried out due to the intervention of the Lord. Instead, the other 10 spies are executed by the Lord, and Joshua and Caleb lived and later entered the Promised Land, verses 36 through 38. 14, verse 11 through 25. Moses again intercedes for the people. See Exodus 32, 12 through 14. In verse 18, Moses cites the Lord's own words from Exodus 34, 6 through 7. The issue of the Lord's mercy and the Lord's punishment of sin is raised. Both aspects of the Lord's character are affirmed, in that the Lord is merciful to Israel, since he did not disinherit the nation, but the people who sinned must pay the consequences. Verse 22 through 24. 14 verse 20. According to your word, shows the power of intercessory prayer based on a firm confidence in God's word. 14 verse 22. These 10 times. 10 is apparently not literal, but means, quote, often, unquote, or, quote, lots of times, unquote. 14 verse 24. Different spirit in him. A reference to Caleb's spirit or attitude, not to the Holy Spirit. 14 verse 25. The way of the Red Sea. The east finger of the Red Sea is apparently their destination, namely toward the Gulf of Aqaba. Their direction of travel is reversed from north to south. 14 verse 26 through 38. The overlap of this material with that of verses 11 and 25 is obvious. The difference is that verses 11 and 25 are addressed to Moses. In these verses, however, Moses and Aaron receive a command to address the Israelites, informing them of the Lord's decision, verses 26 through 35. 14 verse 30. See notes on chapter 13 verse 26 through 33. 14 verse 33. Shepherd speaks of the nomadic lifestyle they would have to assume, since they would not be able to raise crops or herds in the promised land as they had hoped. 14 verse 36 through 38. The first of the faithless generation to perish are the 10 unbelieving spies who die by the plague before the wilderness time. Exodus 32 verse 35 and Numbers 11 verse 33. 14 verse 39 through 45. When Moses complied with the command of the Lord in verses 26 through 35, the people attempt to pass in disobedience to the Lord's command and without his presence. They are defeated and driven back to Hormah, verse 45.
All right, that was chapter 14, was commentary of Numbers. Be doing chapter 15, the Lord willing, this evening. Till then, remember these lessons. True repentance means that you are converted from like a caterpillar to a butterfly, and you never go back to from a butterfly to a caterpillar. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus, and you continue as being a new creature or a butterfly until the end, to the very end. You may make up all kinds of excuses that you have an excuse to sin, but there is no excuse. You can murmur because you're not getting what you want, but that won't get you anywhere but hell, the lake of fire. Think about those things. The Lord is more strict, shows more strictness as far as I can see in the New Testament than he ever did in the Old. Yes, he's very precise and concise. He has a temper. He gets angry. And a lot of people are trying to put anger down. But the Bible in the New Testament commands us, be ye angry. It's a plus to be angry at the things of Satan. But sin not, that means don't be angry at the things of the Lord. And you don't like his strictness? It's the very strictness that is the only way that you can get into the kingdom of heaven, is to obey his strictness. So we have to meditate or think about that both day and night, every waking hour, one day at a time. Don't try to think of it 2 days at a time, because you don't know if you're going to live another night or another day. There's all kinds of crazy things happening in this world today. You never know if somebody's going to blow you up. They have recreational killings today where you could be driving in an automobile and somebody just for sport wants to just shoot somebody, drive-by killings. Recreational shootings. Kidnappings. People find sport in just murdering people. They find it great fun. Then you've got terrorists. And the Bible says that, know this, that in the last days, people would be lovers of their own selves, that we'd be living in perilous times. Amen?
Amen.
And the peril is that you just love your own ways, your own selfish ways, because people would be lovers of their own selves and what they want to do, rather than even being concerned at all as to what the Lord wants them to do. And that's why we have the Old Testament and the whole New Testament now, and so we ought to know better. As a matter of fact, we do know better, and so there's no excuse. Just think about that. There's a lesson in this chapter and many, many chapters in the Bible. God never changes. I noticed that in the Old and New Testament. The Old and New Testament is the Bible. It's one book. It's not two books. It's all the Word of God. So until chapter 15, God bless you. God empower you with His might, with His Holy Spirit, to keep you standing another day. Because that's all it takes. It's just don't be a lesbian or think about being one today. Or don't be thinking about being a homosexual or an adulterer or an adulteress or a fornicator or a liar or a thief. Don't be saying, I repent. You hear people saying, I repent, and then the next few hours they're doing the same thing again. Convert. Become a new creature in Christ. Convert from being a worm like you are to a butterfly, a new creature in Christ Jesus. God bless you and praise the Lord. Amen.